Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Minister Lester?
God bless you. Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. Praise God. It's such a joy to be with everyone once again. This is Minister Van with When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Our host is Reverend Ray, the founder of this broadcast, and we thank God for him. Tonight's message, just a few words to encourage you. A mother's faith, a mother's faith. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Father, just thanking you, Lord God, for your grace and for your mercy, Father. We thank you, Lord God, because you're so good to us. We thank you, Father, because while we don't see our way clear, we know you see far, Lord God, and you know everything about us. You know our needs even way before we do, Father. We thank you, Father, because you are God of all gods, Lord God. You are the Almighty God, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for this broadcast, for this vehicle to be able to reach your people, to share your good news, Lord God, to encourage someone, Father, who perhaps may be a little down, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for that. We know, Lord God, that you said in your word, when it goes forth, it would not return unto you empty-handed. It would go out and accomplish that which you have purposed for it to accomplish. So we claim it right now by faith. We count it done. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Amen. And amen. A mother's faith. This evening, we're going to be talking about three mothers of the Old Testament, and how their faith, how their walk of faith changed their lives forever. Tonight's message of mother's faith is intended, once again, to encourage somebody to trust God. Trust God when your own senses are telling you that it just doesn't make sense to trust him. I would like for you to travel back in time with me, and we will visit three Old Testament mothers, three women, three widows who, against all odds, declare a faith walk, and as a result, receive blessings beyond measure. The lessons learned from visiting each of these three women should encourage us to walk by faith and never, ever by sight. The scriptures, and there will be several scriptures we'll be talking about, but if you want to jot this down, 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, that's 1 Kings 17, and then 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, 2 Kings 4. So again, we're going to go and we're going to visit three women. These three women's names are not even recorded in the Bible. Their names aren't. But their stories have been told over and over again. And it is my hope that these stories, their stories, even if you have heard them before, will encourage you. They will motivate you. They will challenge you. It is my hope that these stories will propel you to walk by faith and not by sight. It is my hope that the story of these two mothers will encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. It is my hope that you would take these stories to heart and that you would in turn encourage somebody else so that their stories become your stories. As you stand firm on the word of God, knowing, trusting, and believing that what God did for these three women of the Old Testament, talking about miracles after miracles, that God will and is well able to do the same thing for you. Yes, even during these dark and dreary times that we live in right now. So tonight, as we visit with these three women, we will learn that while their stories, their individual stories, may be unique in some ways, they are not that much different than we are. Whether man or woman, rich or poor, they are not that much different than we are. Tonight, we'll learn how they all shared a common thread, a faith walk. We will learn how their decisions to trust God were ordered, ordained, and orchestrated by divine intervention. Divine intervention. So the first woman we're going to talk about from 1 Kings 17th chapter is the widow of Zarephath. The widow of Zarephath. 1 Kings 17 opens up with a prophecy from the prophet Elijah. Elijah said there won't be any dew or rain for 7 years until I say the word. Now, Elijah was one of the Old Testament's greatest prophets. His prophecy stressed the unconditional loyalty of God and what God required of the nation of Israel. The Bible lets us know that Elijah wore strange clothing and he often lived in caves. It would appear that Elijah had a robust, outdoor-type personality. As a matter of fact, the New Testament identifies John the Baptist as Elijah, Matthew 11, chapter 14, verse. And the New Testament also identified Jesus as Elijah, Matthew 16, 14, and Luke 9 and 8. Along with Moses, Elijah appears with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew the 17th chapter and the 3rd verse. So in 1 Kings 17, verses 2 to 6, we learned that God had commanded the ravens to feed Elijah, and he was instructed to drink from a nearby brook. But in verse 17, we learn that the brook dries up. Verse 7 says, but after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rain anywhere in the land. So here the stage is being set for this first woman we're going to talk about, the widow of Zarephath, to come on the scene. How many know that God knew way before Elijah came on the scene that this brook that was put, that God had provided to give Elijah water was going to dry up? We know that God knows everything, and he knew that this brook was going to dry up. Now, this woman's husband had just died, and here she is, this woman of Zarephath, with her little son about to die, or so she believed she was. The drought was so bad that because it hadn't rained in several days, the water supply had dried up and the land was not producing any crop. Have you ever felt like you were in a dry season? I mean, a really dry season, and you had no idea where you would end up. Perhaps you didn't even know where your next meal would come from. Perhaps if it wasn't a meal, maybe it was something else. You didn't know when your victory would occur, but God showed up, as he always did. So this widow had just a little bit of oil and flour left, and so she goes out to gather wood to prepare that last meal, and then here comes this stranger. Elijah shows up. Here enters Elijah into her life, asking her to fix him something to eat. What must she have been thinking? Verses 8 and 9, the verses said, then the Lord said to him, talking about Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. There is a widow there who will feed you. I have given her my instructions. Didn't God know that? So Elijah goes to Zarephath, and as he arrives at the gate of the city, he sees a widow gathering sticks, and he asks her for a cup of water. Verse 11, as she was going to get it, talking about this cup of water, he calls out to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, verse 12, I swear by the Lord your God that I haven't a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jar. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I must die of starvation. But Elijah said to her in the 13th verse, don't be afraid. Go ahead and cook that last meal. But bake me a little loaf of bread first. And afterwards, there will still be enough food for you and your son. For the Lord God of Israel says that there would be always be plenty of flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. Now, you see, this woman didn't know Elijah. She didn't even know anything about Elijah's God, for she was a heathen. But she had heard of Elijah's God. And from the way Elijah was dressed, she knew, she just knew he was a man of God. She knew he had to be a man of faith. Now, this widow assumed that if she told Elijah her story, that he would leave her alone. But this was not to be the case. You see, God was with Elijah. So Elijah tells her, don't be afraid. Go and fix that meal as you have planned. But first make a little cake and bring it to me. Then afterwards, make some for yourself and for your son. She was probably thinking to herself, should I risk this? What about my child? A great act of faith was being asked of this heathen widow. So even though she barely had enough to prepare for herself and her son, she took a leap of faith, a step of faith, a huge step of faith, if you ask me. 15 verse says, so she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her son continued to eat from her supply of flour and oil as long as it was needed. For no matter how much they used, there was always plenty left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. And this continued for several days. The Word of God lets us know that it continued for several days. A miracle how the food just kept multiplying. By obeying the prophet's instructions, this precious widow learned a very valuable lesson that we can hold dear to our hearts today, that when we put God first, we would never, ever lack the necessities of life. You see, her bin of flour and jar of oil never failed. But how many know that we will endure many trials, many tests, and we should learn from past experience that God is still God, that he's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. We should learn that what he did for me way back then, what he did for me last month, what he did for me last week, what he did for me yesterday, he can do the same today. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For the trial of our faith worketh patience. And how many know that a faith that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted? For you see, as we'll read on further a little bit more about this widow, this precious widow from Zarephath was to endure one more test, a major one. For verse 17 says, but one day, the woman's son became sick and died. Yes, we talk about the same woman that Elijah appeared, the same woman that Elijah appeared to, and the woman's son became sick and died. Now, can you imagine what this widow must have been thinking? Why, God? Why did you let my child live during the famine only to take him now? I would like to think that her faith was being tested. I would like to think that her faith was being built. So she had already experienced enough food day after day, but still she's questioning Elijah. She's questioning him. What about you? What about our faith in dealing with something you may be going through right now? Didn't God bring you through that other situation? But now you're questioning him about this situation that's confronting you right now. You're questioning him about what you're going through right now. But remember, it's the same God. God changes not. So in verse 18, she cries out to Elijah, what have you done to me? Have you come here to punish my sin, killing my son? Give him to me, Elijah replied. And Elijah takes the boy's body from her and carries it upstairs to the guest room where he lives. And he laid the body on his bed. And then Elijah cries out to the Lord, oh, Lord, my God, why have you killed the son of this widow with whom I am staying? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, oh, Lord, my God, please let this child's spirit return to him. And the Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the spirit of the child returned, and he became alive again. Then Elijah took him downstairs and gave him to his mother. See, he's alive. Now I know for sure that you are a prophet, she told him afterwards, and that whatever you say is from the Lord. This widow's faith was surely tested. And through this second miracle, There was no doubt in her mind that Elijah was a prophet sent from God. What a witness she must have been to others. What a testimony. What a testimony. And I believe that Elijah's faith was strengthened even more so, too, because he prayed out to God, not knowing the full story. God, why have you allowed this mother's child to die? I believe his faith was tested, too. So that's the first woman, that mother that we wanted to talk about, the woman, the mother of Zarephath. The second mother we're going to talk about comes from 2 Kings, 4th chapter and 8th verse, 2 Kings 4, 8. This woman, this mother, has an encounter with the prophet Elijah. That's E-L-I-S-H-A. Now, Elijah was a protege, if you will, that's my term, of Elijah. First, let me tell you, share a little bit more about Elijah. He was a prophet and a wonder worker of the northern kingdom of Israel, okay? I believe Elijah first comes on the scene in 1 Kings 19:16, when God tells Elijah to anoint him to be a prophet. So in 1 Kings 19:19, it reads, so Elijah went and found Elijah, who was plowing a field with the 11 other teams ahead of him. He was at the end of the line with the last team. Elijah went over to him and threw his coat across his shoulders and walked away. The 20th verse says, Elijah left the oxen standing there and ran after Elijah and said to him, first, let me go and say goodbye to my father and mother, and then I'll go with you. Now, Elisha is a farmer, and the fact that he had 12 yoke of oxen lets us know that he was not poor. Elijah throws his mantle, that's his coat, on Elijah. That's a sign that Elijah was to become his successor. Since the implication of this action was well known during this time, the only thing Elijah says is, let me go and say goodbye to my parents, and then I'll go with you. It would appear that Elisha, E-L-I-S-H-A, knew that his life was going to change dramatically. One commentary noted that Elisha did not mistake his prophetic summons. His response was decisive. He put his past behind him. And serving Elijah, much as Joshua had served under Moses, Elisha would learn that the secret to a successful ministry lies in having a servant's heart, a servant's heart. So in the 20th verse, Elijah left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and he said, first, let me go and say goodbye to my father and mother, and then I'll go with you. And Elijah tells him, go ahead, go do what you need to do, and then come after me, follow me. So we know the story goes that Elijah returned to the oxen after he had greeted his parents and said his farewell, and then he has a party, if you will, and he passes around the meat, and they had a great feast. And then he goes with Elijah as his assistant. Now, the 2 Kings 4th chapter and the 4th verse is where we're going to pick up the story of the second woman. So one day, the wife of one of the seminary students came to Elijah to tell him of her husband's death. He was a man who had loved God, she said. My husband loved God, but he owed some money when he died, and now the creditor is demanding it back. If I don't pay, they said they are going to come and take my two sons as slaves. You see, during that time, the enslaving of family members in lieu of debt was a common practice in the ancient Near East. So the second verse, Elijah says, what shall I do? How much food do you have in the house? Nothing at all except a jar of olive oil, she replies. Then, I love this story. And he tells her, then go borrow many pots and pans from your neighbors and your friends, he instructed. Get this. Go borrow many pots and pans from your friends and your neighbors. Fourth verse, go into your house with your son and shut the door behind you. Then pour olive oil from your jar into the pots and pans, setting them aside as they are filled. Shut the door behind you. I wonder if these instructions were meant to shut out any distractions. You see, perhaps the townsfolk would have been coming in and out and causing this mother to begin to doubt God's ability to bless her. Remember, she had borrowed pots and pans from her friends and neighbors, and I'm sure those neighbors must have been wondering what was going on in that poor widow's home. Are you allowing outside distractions to cast doubts on your faith? Are you attempting to walk by faith, expecting your breakthrough to happen any moment, but you are continually forgetting to shut the door behind you? Are you forgetting to shut out those naysayers? Are you forgetting to shut out those doubters? Are you forgetting to shut out the cries of woe is me? Are you forgetting to shut out any pity parties? Are you forgetting to shut out the noise and distractions that are intended to rob you of your joy, that are intended to cause you doubt? Are you forgetting to shut the door? So she did. Verse 5 says, so she did. Her sons brought the pots and pans to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she says to her sons. There aren't any more, they told her. And then the oil stopped flowing. When she told the prophet what had happened, he said to her, go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and there will be enough food left for, there will be enough money left for you and for your sons to live on. Do you notice something familiar here? How the oil kept multiplying and multiplying. You remember the widow of Zarephath and this widow? Both were nameless. Neither had names. Both were widows who had encounters with prophets who would change their lives forever. A couple questions for thought. Think about this and ask yourself this question. What if this widow, this mother, had started to question the foolishness of this instruction? What if she thought it was too embarrassing to go ask her friends and neighbors for pots and pans when they knew that she didn't even have food? What if she had allowed embarrassment and pride? What if she had allowed pride to prevent her from obeying? It would appear that she had faith enough not to question this man of God. Perhaps she had heard something about another prophet and another widow whose life had been changed forever. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now to the third mother, the Shunammite woman, Here's another mother, another widow, whose name was not recorded in the Bible. She was called the Shunammite woman. We will learn about her encounter with another, with this prophet, Elijah. The Shunammite woman came on the scene after the widow of Zarephath, after the story we just read. This woman had heard, perhaps she had heard about this sister from Zarephath. Perhaps she hadn't. Regardless, these stories are similar in several areas, but different in others. For example, one was poor, but the Shunammite woman was wealthy. Okay? So there's a story in that. One day Elijah went to Shunem. A prominent woman of the city invited him in to eat. And afterwards, whenever he passed that way, he stopped for dinner. The ninth verse, she said to her husband, I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy prophet. Let's make a little room for him on the roof. We could put in a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. And he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. How thoughtful of her. You see, she's very observant, and she's very aware of her goings, her surroundings, of goings, comings, and goings. Sensing a need to accommodate this man of God, this wealthy Shunammite woman probably thinks to herself, what can I do for this servant of God? She had the resources, you see, as she was created. She consults with her husband before making any plan. I call that godly influence. She didn't just have someone put up a tent for this man of God, Elijah. She recommended they have a permanent room built for him with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. How thoughtful, how thoughtful. Being a wealthy woman, couldn't she just have given this man of God money to find food and lodging elsewhere? Instead, she took the trouble to have a permanent guest room built for him in her own home. And sharing her possessions, she gave of herself. As a result, we would learn that God blessed her. You see, when you bless someone, a blessing will indeed return to you, and you don't even have to ask for it. So the 11th and 12th verse says, once when he was resting in the room, he says to his servants, Gehazi, to tell the woman I want to speak to her. When she came, he said to his servants, tell her that we appreciate her kindness to us. Now, ask her what can we do for her. Does she want us to put in a good word for her to the king or to the general of the army? No, she replied, I'm perfectly content. Elijah offered to put in a good word for her to the king, to find her a position or something like that. And here was a woman who humbly refused. There's a story in it. It appears she didn't do these things. She didn't make all these accommodations for this man of God so she could receive recognition. So the 14th verse says, what can we do for her? He asked his servants afterwards. And the servant replies, she doesn't have a son. And her husband is an old man. Verse 15 and 16, Elijah said, call her back in. So she returned. He talked to her as she stood in the doorway. Next year, at about this time, you shall have a son. You shall have a son. Oh, man of God, she exclaimed, don't lie to me like that. You shall have a son. But it was true. The woman could soon conceive and had a baby boy the following year, just as Elijah had predicted, just as he had predicted. Then the 18th verse, the story gets really interesting. One day, when the child was older, he went out to visit his father, who was working with the reapers. He complained about a headache and soon was moaning in pain. His father said to one of his servants, carry him home to his mother. So the servant takes him home in the 20th verse, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, something happened. Around noontime, his precious son dies in her arms. She carries him up to the bed of the prophet, who was not there at the time. The prophet was away. But remember, she had built this place for him. So she carries her dead son up to and lays him on the bed of the prophet, and she shuts the door. Then she sends a message to her husband, who is out in the field, and says, send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the prophet and come right back. Why today, he asked. This isn't a religious holiday. And, you know, I found this very interesting. He had just sent his son, who was ill, to his wife, the son's mother. And then, yet, she sends a message to him, and she's asking for a servant and a donkey. But she doesn't say anything about the son had died. She doesn't share that with her husband at all. She simply sends him a message that she needs a servant and a donkey, so she could go quickly to the man of God. Based on his response, her husband's response, he simply did not have a clue. And I found that really interesting. But nevertheless, she told him, it's important. I must go. I must go. You see, this mother was on a mission. Something else I thought was very interesting. This wealthy mother didn't send for a doctor before her son died. She didn't send anyone, and she didn't send just anyone else to go get the prophet. She personally went herself. Leaving her dead son on the prophet's bed, she takes it upon herself to go to the man of God. I believe she knew something about miracles. So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, Harry, don't slow down for my comfort unless I tell you to. 25th verse. As she approached Mount Carmel, Elijah saw her in the distance. The prophet saw her in the distance and said to his servant, Gehazi, look, that woman from Shunem is coming. Run and meet her and ask her what the trouble is. See if her husband is all right and if the child is well. Yes, she told the servant, everything is fine. I thought this was really interesting. Everything is fine? Now I wonder, why did she say that? Perhaps she didn't want to waste time with explanations to Elijah's servant, and she was anxious to get to Elijah, because she saw him at a distance. She hadn't gotten to him yet. Perhaps she had enough faith to know that the God of Elijah would raise her son back to life, and so she said, everything's fine. Perhaps she was like, if I can just get to the hem of this prophet's garment, I know everything is going to be fine. But when she came to Elijah at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Get this. And Gehazi, the servant, began to push her away. But the prophet said, leave her alone. something is deeply troubling her, and the Lord hasn't told me what it is yet. Then she says to the prophet, it was you who said I'd have a son, and I beg you not to lie to me. Then Elijah says to his servant, quick, take my staff. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Hurry, lay the staff upon the child's face. But the boy's mother wasn't about to let the servant go. She needed Elijah, and she was about to leave without him. But the 30th verse says, I swear to God that I will not go home without you. So Elijah returned to her house with her. 31st verse says, Gehazi, that's the servant, went on ahead of them. And he laid the staff upon the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elijah and told him, the child is still dead. When Elijah arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed, lying on his bed. Then he goes in, get this, and shuts the door behind him and prays to the Lord. Nowhere here does it say the mother came into the room with him. It says he goes in and shuts the door behind him and prays to the Lord. Again, I believe this is another illustration of shutting out distractions. Perhaps he thought the mother would be there weeping while he was praying to God, and he didn't need that distraction. He needed faith, not fear, because you see, faith and fear do not operate in the same room. So this prophet lays upon the child's body, placing his mouth upon the child's mouth and his eyes upon the child's eyes, and guess what else? His hands upon the child's hands. And the child's body began to grow warm again. Then the prophet went down and walked back and forth in the house a few times. Returning upstairs, he stretched himself again upon the child. This time, the little boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. He sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then the prophet called to his servant, call the mother. And when she came in, he said, here is your son. Here is your son. The mother falls to the floor at his feet, picks up her son, and goes out. Now, this was not the end of the story of the Shunammite woman. You may think this was the end. But thank God, this was not the end of the Shunammite woman's story. For as we'll learn from 2 Kings 8 chapter, the Shunammite woman was to receive another blessing as a result of her blessing God's servant Elisha. You see, the country was threatened by famine several years later. She was warned by this prophet in time to move away with her family and escape starvation. Then something else happened to her that would test her faith again. 2 Kings 8, Elijah had told the woman whose son he had brought back to life, take your family and move to some other country, for the Lord has called down a famine on Israel that will last for 7 years. So the woman took her family and lived in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. After the famine ended, she returned to the land of Israel and went to see the king about getting back her house and land. Just as she came in, the king was talking with Gehazi, that's Elijah's servant, and saying, tell me some stories of the great things Elijah has done. And Gehazi, the servant, was telling the king about the time when Elijah brought a little boy back to life. At that very moment, the mother of the boy walks in. Oh, sir, the servant exclaimed, here is the mother now. And this is her son, the very one Elijah brought back to life. So you see, this Shunammite woman, she obeyed the prophet, this Shunammite woman who obeyed the prophet Elijah, and she moved away from her home for 7 years. Not until 7 years later did she return to her country. During her absence, she had lost her home, her fields, and it would appear her husband also died, for there was no mention of him during the time of the famine. So the 6th verse says, is this true? The king asked her, and she told him that it was. So get this. So the king directs one of his officials to see to it that everything this woman had owned was restored to her. Everything was restored to her, plus, the value of any crop that had been harvesting during her absence. Based on her unselfish acts towards God's servant years earlier, this woman was blessed with the return of all of her belongings plus all of her fruit. Why? Because she opened the floodgates of blessings upon herself. Because of her contribution to the kingdom of God, she was blessed beyond measure. The person who gives of themselves becomes the one who receives blessing. You cannot. When you think about God's blessings and how much he blesses us, even right now, he's blessing us. Even during these times, he's blessing us. We can't beat God's blessings. Three mothers of the Old Testament, each of them walked by faith and not by sight. Three women whose lives were changed and whose stories were so significant that they were recorded in this book of life, despised for all times. Three mothers challenged to go against the grain and be witnesses to millions for years and years to come. The poor widow from Zarephath, the poor widow of the seminary student, and the wealthy Shunammite mother. The one common thread, their faith walk that opened a new relationship with God. A new relationship with God. Amen. So I just love these stories. I love the similarities and I love the difference. And I hope you can relate to them in one way or the other and know that regardless of whatever you're experiencing right now, regardless of whatever you're going through right now, God is God. God is still on the throne. God is still in control. God knows everything about everything. And he sees you. He hears you right now. He sees you. He hears those cries. Just like he did with these three women. Just like he used these three women, he wants to use you to be a blessing to others. To be a blessing to others. Just as this, the common thread, their faith walk, opened up a new relationship with God for them, I want to ask you right now, do you have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with God? So you can't have a relationship with God unless you know his son. Unless you know his son. For those of us who have trusted Jesus and believed and accepted him as our Savior, we believe in his promise of eternal life. We believe in his promise of eternal life. So in a few minutes, I'm going to just open up some scriptures to you. And you, if you have not accepted him as your Savior, if not asked him to forgive you of your sins, talking about Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do so. I want you to meditate on these scriptures we've given you before, these scriptures in 1 and 2 Kings, and just allow these to encourage you. Allow these stories of these women to motivate you, to let you know that God is still God. He's the God of the Old Testament. He's the God of New Testament. He's the God for all time. He's the God for all time. And he loves you so much. You want to know how much he loved you? Well, he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sins. Let's see, Revelation 20, chapter 14 to 15, verse says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So if you're not saved, if you have not repented of your sins, if you have not accepted Jesus into your heart, in other words, if you are not 100% sure, if you breathe your last breath right now, where you will spend eternity, I want you to listen very closely. Because nothing I've said up to this point would be of any significance to you if you did not accept Jesus or you had not accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You see, he has to become your Savior before you can allow him to be Lord over your life. Nobody else can save you. Trust Jesus today. The Word of God lets us know that there's only one way to God, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4th chapter and 12th verse says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I ask you again, my friend, my brother, sister, hopefully you are my true brother and sister, but I ask you, are you saved? Are you born again? Have you made the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord? Nobody can do that for you. Your mother couldn't do that for you. Your father couldn't do that for you. Your husband, wife, or any significant other cannot do that for you. Your child cannot do this for you. This is a personal confession that you need to make. For Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You need to first of all admit that you are a sinner. For Romans 3:10 says, for if it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then you need to be willing to turn from your sin, that is to repent. And then you need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. For Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Through prayer right now, you can invite Jesus into your life right now. You can invite him into your life right now to become your personal Savior. For Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, in Christ, you have hope. In Christ, we have hope. So if you have not repented of your sins, and if you're not saved, repeat this prayer after me. And then afterward, please call us or write us or text us and let us know that you've done this. We would love to be praying for you on your new walk. Dear God, I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sins. I am willing to turn from my sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart and life as my personal Savior. You know, my friend, if you just did that, if you just did that prayer, prayed that prayer, if you just trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you have just begun a wonderful brand new life in him. And guess what? The angels in heaven are rejoicing right now, right now. And we would like to rejoice with you, praise God. Get a good Bible and read it every day to get to know Jesus Christ better, because he truly is your friend. Talk to God in prayer every day. And when you're able to be baptized, get baptized, when you're able to worship and fellowship and serve other Christians in a local church, one day you'll be able to join up, connect physically with other Christians in a local church where Christ is preached and where the Bible is the final authority. And then please, 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 don't be selfish with this good news. And don't be selfish with this free gift you just received. Share it with others. Amen. Share it with others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God. We thank you, Father, for your word that's gone forth. We thank you, Father, because of who you are, Lord God, and that these words have not fallen on shallow ground, Lord. We thank you, Father, that souls have cried out to you, Lord God, and we claim that by faith, Lord God, that they have a new relationship in you, Lord God, and they'll be able to encourage somebody else, Lord God, and they'll be encouraged, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for giving us these few words that we can share with others, Lord God, to encourage somebody somewhere, Lord God, to keep on keeping on, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for this ministry, Lord God, Red Christian Speak Talk Radio, and we thank you, Father, for all that you've done, and we know, trust, and believe that the best is still yet to come, Father. We give you all the honor, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise, for it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Minister Ben. What an awesome word. A mother's faith, amen. A mother's faith, amen. And then you'll be able to listen to the broadcast in its entirety, probably about 20 minutes, on a different platform, whether it's Blog Talk Radio, iHeart Radio, Spreaker.com, iTunes, or even go to the website, amen, WithChristianSpeak.com. So, again, everyone, we want to thank you for tuning in to It's About a Grace for Minister Vanessa Williams. Minister Vanessa Williams, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for an awesome word of God. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. So with that, everyone, we can go ahead and close out. Again, I want to thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Minister Vanessa Williams. She'll be back with us on next Tuesday. God bless you. God bless you.